Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is
Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty, mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord Yahweh. This is your brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Sapara. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to share his word before the rapture, the partial, the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There is no time left. And that's what's exciting. Amen. My brother and sister, very, very soon, the bride of Christ is going to open her eyes in heaven. My brother and sister, there's so much we want to go home. The Lord knows the desire of our heart. And he's going to answer the petition, the desire of our heart, my brother and sister. Amen. Because he loves us, my brother and sister. Amen. He loves us so much. Hallelujah. That I believe, thank you, Jesus, he's going to answer us on what we've been asking him, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, because he makes us a promise in his word. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. My brother and sister, we desire to go to heaven. And the Bible says that God will, my brother and sister, he will give us the desire of our heart. And the desire of our heart is to be going to heaven, to be going to be in with the Lord, with our God, our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. I got exciting news to share tonight. Thank you, Lord, God willing. I can, hallelujah, share everything that's been shown to me from heaven, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. From the throne, I was allowed to look down to the earth in regard to where we are, in regard to hallelujah, regarding to the great tribulation that are about to start. And before the great tribulation starts, we know the bride of Christ will be going home. Hallelujah, the departure, raptured, caught up in the air, would happen first. Apostle would happen first. Until when I was allowed to look 2 mornings ago from the throne, God showed me where we are right now. Right now, where we are right now. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Thank you, Lord. And it's a Bible study, so praise you, Lord. But it's exciting. It is exciting to share. And what the Lord says to me from the throne, as he was showing me this, my brother and sister, hallelujah, I was in complete silence, just watching and listening, my brother and sister, to what he was showing me and what he has to say. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to go into the word of God, my brother and my sisters, as we always do. And as I go and explain the word and share the word, then praise you, Jesus, we will go into the revelation of the Lord. Praise you, God. Excuse me. Everything is so close. So close. We are on borrowed time. Okay, we are on borrowed time. We are on time that God has given us. God is a giver. And he knows that there are a few people that are not ready. He doesn't want to leave them behind, my brother and sister. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. He says that those that the Father has given him, that, hallelujah, that he will not lose one, my brother and sister. Okay, that he will not lose one. And hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. At least in the book of John, he will not lose one that the Father, okay, has given him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it's in John 6:39. And this is the Father will who has sent me, Jesus speaking to the disciple and to us, because his word has no time and no limitation by time. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Okay? I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again, raptured, caught up in the air, at the last days. Okay? I can never forget this. The Lord opening the Bible one time and showing me the raptured book by book. Hallelujah. That I should lose nothing. Okay? And this, I believe another translation that will not lose one, but this one said lose nothing. My brother insisted, which is still, it's the same meaning. Praise the Lord. Let me see what the Messianic, hallelujah, the Messianic Complete Jewish Bible says, and this is the will of the one who has sent me, that I should not lose any of those who he has given me, but should raise them up in the last days. But you notice how he points to the last days. And that's where you and I are in right now. If you're wondering where you're standing, where you are right now, in regard to be going home, in regard to the church disappearing soon, we are in the last days. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. I'm going to show you from Genesis when we hear about the last day from Genesis, because God talks about the end from the beginning, the Bible says. So we're going to go in Genesis for you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, we are in the last days. That means that after these days is none, no more. Because the great tribulation is Jacob 12 or 7 years. And that's, I don't know if I will say it's not included or it's included, because this time of grace that God has given us is the time where God is saving people by grace, and grace will end. The work of grace ends now when the church disappears. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we are about to be going home. And the one who sent me doesn't want me to lose any. The Father doesn't want Jesus to lose any of those he gave me. He wants me to bring them back to life on the last days. What was going on with them that he needed to bring them back to life? Sin. Okay, and the Lord spoke to me about this in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But let me tell you, coming back, as the Lord brought me back from heaven, wow, what was waiting for me down here? It was a fleet, legions of demons, hallelujah, ready to encounter my brother and sister, the fight. I had to stay up in prayer after coming back. It's not easy. It's just not easy down here at all. It's cloudy. It's darkness on this earth like people cannot even imagine. The spiritual fight for every single soul goes on continuously. My brothers and sisters, this is a fight for every single soul. And as the Lord was bringing me back, wow, what a fight. What a fight, what a fight. I had to call upon the Lord. I had to call for the Lord to send billions and trillions of warriors, angels and archangels, because I'm telling you, the fight was tremendous. Praise the Lord. They don't want the information I'm going to share tonight being put out. They don't want people knowing. Because then when people receive a word from the throne, it encourages them to wait upon the Lord. It comes with that anointing and love of God for their life, for their soul, to prepare, to be ready. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Lord, and I pray tonight for everyone listening and everyone that who's going to listen to this message, that they will be touched by you, confirmed to the Spirit, Lord, that it's your word, it's your revelation. Make their heart, make their life ready, Jesus. Help them. Give them the anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. To pray, to fast, to be ready for your coming, Jesus. Hallelujah. Time is over. Lord, we pray to be ready to being ready of all time for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. My Lord, my God. Thank you, God. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. And his love endures forever. Praise you, Jesus. So this is not easy. This is not easy. This spiritual battle is not easy. But our trust is in the Lord. And greater is he that is with us than he that is in the world. Remember that. Okay, don't be afraid of the battle. Just pray for God to equip you, to empower you, to empower your faith, to help you, hallelujah, to fight for you. Benjamin his mind, says the Lord. Always call upon the Lord to fight for you every night, every day. Don't take a chance. Don't say everything is fine, I'm okay. No, you trust only in the Lord. Do not trust yourself or your circumstance or anybody else. Trust only Jesus. Trust only God in this. Amen. He will empower you with the Holy Spirit to overcome anything that will come against your life. My brother, my sister, he overcame them on the cross. So don't fear. And if you have fear, repent of any fear of the devil. Hallelujah. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Pray the Lord will give you the strength to go forward in victory with him. Forward in victory. Do not look back or turn back. In Jesus' name. Stay firm with the Lord. This shofar, this trumpet is about to be sound. The Lord is about to take us home. And the enemy is doing anything he can to try to keep us behind. Because if any of us stays behind, that's another 7 years of him trying to have you denying the Lord. Trying to have you commit sin where hallelujah, for you to stay behind and end up in hell. The greatest chance of people ending up in hell is sin. Disobedience. And that's what the devil wants people to do. But we stay focused on Jesus. We keep calling up on the name of the Lord and wish we will be saved, and the Lord is going to help us. So stay firm. Stay firm. Okay? Stay committed to the Lord. Stay in repentance. It's just praise to Lord. Help us, Jesus. Amen. So important in the last days, my brother and sister, that we stay focused on the Lord. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose any of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up all to life in the last days. He's going to bring us home as he promised us, my brother and sister. He promised us he would, and he is faithful. He that sit upon the throne is faithful. He made us a promise to bring us home. And he's going to bring us home, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. In this revelation in heaven, hallelujah, I was thinking about Brother Joseph, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's in the chat room tonight. Hallelujah, listening. Praise you, Lord. Because the Lord spoke to me about those that are struggling with different things in their lives. Okay? And he's not giving up on any of them, he says to me. Praise the Lord. So your struggle, those that are struggling with many things going on in your life, the Lord is not giving up on you. He is not, my brother and sister. You may feel that it's so difficult, so hard. You may feel that people don't understand what you're going through. But it's because this is a spiritual battle, a difficult battle that you're going through, that Jesus overcame. In order for you to be victorious, you got to commit your life to him. You got to humble yourself and put all your desire in his hand, in his plan, in his will. Notice how Jesus said the will. He was always talking about the will of the Father, my brother and sister. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise them up in the last days. My brother and sister, why did Jesus speak this way? This way, because he cared for each and one of his children, each and one of them that the Father has given him. And we are the one the Father has given him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. You're going to lose many things, job, family, money, car, home, in this life. But don't worry about those things. God got something better for you, an eternal home, one that cannot be destroyed by earthquake or tsunami or by anything. And he's given it to you, praise the Lord, an eternal home in an eternal place. He's given you something better, eternal life, that cannot be bought with anything on this earth, no money, nothing. My brother and sister, are you willing to lose something eternal for something temporary? No. Be willing to lose the temporary things of this life for the eternal things that God has for you and I in heaven. My brother and sister, that's what I look forward. I look forward for what God has for me, for the eternal home, for eternal life with God, eternity with him. It's what I'm looking forward. It's what I want. Nothing of this life I care for. I tell God that I'm willing to give up anything, anything of this life for just be going home. My brother and sister, and being with God, anything. I'm willing to give up everything I have for just to be going home and being with God. And it's not that I don't care for everything I have. We do care. But we value more the eternal things that God has given us, eternal life, my brother and sister. And every day we have to be willing to die for him, my brother and sister. It's not easy down here. It's difficult. But God, Jesus overcame on the cross. He's given us salvations, eternal life, my brother and sister. Nothing can be, hallelujah, compared to eternal life. There's no money, nothing. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is the eternal life, that they may know thee to be the only very God, whom thou hast sent me, and whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ. God wants us to know him. And this is the time that you and I should be spending now on this earth now. Knowing him, knowing God, committing to knowing him, to spending time with him. My brother and sister, not wasting time, but spending time with him. When you spend time with God, you don't waste anything. When you give God a year or two or 30 or 40 or 50, whatever years you give God of your life, Shalom, Brother David, God will give you an eternity for what you're spending with him. How valuable it will be for you to give God your youth, your years, your best years, give it to God. My brother and sister, Shalom, Sister Regina Rivero. Give to God your best. Don't give God a leftover, because God has given you an eternal place, an eternity with him that can never be stolen from you. An eternal, young, youth, beautiful you body God has given you. A glory body. A glorified body he's given you for all eternity. You will look beautiful. You will look in your 20 for all eternity. You'll never have a bad hair in heaven. That's why on Sunday, I asked the Lord if I could play Brother Richard. Richard Stidman, where his testimony, my time in heaven, is 5 hours. My brother insisted I was able to play three on Sunday. But I'm sure those that listen were blessed by it. My brother and sister, what a testimony of the eternal place that God has for each and one of us. Everything we do for God on this earth is so difficult. The enemy is coming against us one way or another. My brother and sister, just the Lord taking me to heaven the day before yesterday morning, when the Lord brought me back, wow, a whole legion of demons waiting around to attack me, just so I won't deliver tonight's message to God's people. Ruthless, relentless, Shalom, sister. My brothers, they try to keep me quiet. They don't want anyone being taken to heaven and coming back and sharing. This is not easy. My brothers, this is why we need to pray. Had to come back, I had to stay. I came back at 3:30 in the morning. I had to stay up to 5 o'clock and pray more. I had already prayed before. And I went to sleep. Lord brought me back at 3:30 in the morning. I look at my clock. And immediately I had to go in prayer because they were waiting to attack me. For 2.5 hours more, I remember. Like, oh, man. And there was no it or nothing. You have to do it. You have to be willing. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Not easy. A lot of people think it's easy. It's not. They want to keep us quiet. They want us to, they want to shut up. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I remember that I was getting up early in the morning. I believe it was at 6:30. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, man, I only have an hour and 30 minutes of sleep. I look at the clock. But you say, you know what? Praise the Lord. And I asked the Lord to give me rest. The Lord gave me about 8 or 10 hours of rest and 1.5 hours. When I got up at 6:30, the alarm went off. Oh, I was rested before 6:30. With just 1 hour and 30 minutes of sleep. Rest. The Lord gave me rest. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, I cannot give them the excuse I'm too tired to pray overnight. No. It's just obedient he wants. Obedient to God is better than sacrifice. My brother and sister doesn't want us giving him excuses. He wants us praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve. So I was in prayer with the Lord that morning. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And I remember asking the Lord, Lord, are you giving me a heavy revelation? He said, yes, clearly in prayer. And my whole night in prayer with him, I got excited a bit. Thank you, Lord. It's always exciting. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I remember, hallelujah, they went to sleep, which was no sleep. Boom, he took me up to heaven. I knew, hallelujah, I was in the throne, in the presence of God, with a mighty presence of him covering me, mighty anointing oil all over me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And right from the throne, he began to show me down to the earth in our time. The question is, how much longer, oh Lord? How much longer we have? I was looking down from the throne down to time, down to the earth. And I can see, brothers and sisters, like the church. I can see the church. And right, there was a dividing spiritual wall that we don't see. From here to the great tribulation. My brother and sister. And right there, where I see my brother, I saw a few struggling. The Lord began to speak to me. My brother and my sister. And these are the words. Let me go into the Bible. These are the words he was speaking to me. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. John 6:37, that all that the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. He will not cast anyone out. My brother insisted. And the Lord, as the Lord was speaking to me and showing me this brother, I was thinking about Brother Joseph. Hallelujah. Ruth Joseph, his first name, R-U-S-E, Joseph, and his struggle, how he's been asking for prayer, how difficult it's been for him. And as the Lord was showing me the struggle, Jesus was saying to me that as long as we keep trying, he said, coming to him, even though we're a struggle, God will not give up on anyone, he said. My brother and sister. And I'm watching from the throne him down here working with people. I can see his power molding people. And I can see people falling. But his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord. And I can see the Lord nourishing people and helping people to serve him with their struggle. Help them overcome what they're struggling with. My brother and sister, I can see him with his love and power sustaining people. A brother that was falling, he would help them to get up again. And it will fall again. Like the next day, and next day, he will keep helping his children as long as you keep repenting, as long as you keep calling on him. He was telling me that even though you were struggling, but as long as you, as long as you keep coming to him, he was showing me the struggle. But he said, as long as you keep coming to me, God will not give up on you, he says to me. My brother and sister, and I can see the person falling and getting up again, the Lord helping them to get up again. Like a loving father, a loving Messiah, loving Savior he is, loving God he is, helping his children to overcome the flesh, the world, because he overcame the world, the flesh, the enemy. It was so beautiful to see it from the throne. So loving to see it from the throne of God down here, how God see it, crystal clear, and not even clear, the light clear, total light clear under the blood of Jesus. Because as long as you keep repenting, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. And that is, unrighteousness is sin. The sins that contaminate us, that besiege us, the word of God says, I can see us being washed by the blood. Being washed by the blood. Already washed by the blood. I didn't see the blood because the person he was showing me from the Lord God, from the fear that I know, that has been repenting, the blood already cleansed them. And I can see them white from heaven. And the person may not see themselves white. This is the problem with us judging ourselves. The devil has convinced people in their mind of how sinful they are. That although they're repenting, the devil keep reminding how sinful they've been in the past. The devil keep bringing the past to their mind when Jesus already paid the price on the cross. You need to repent for judging yourself. If God, who is the judge, forgives you, pardons you, who are you? Who is the devil to judge you? Who is meant to judge you? You don't have the right to judge yourself. Nobody has the right to judge you. If God forgives you, if God pardons you, if the blood of Jesus cleanses you, then how can you judge yourself and call yourself so sinful and so wicked and so evil? When God has forgiven you, Jesus has washed you with his blood. He has paid the price for you on the cross. How can you go on judging yourself? My brothers and sisters, see yourself as God sees you. Wash under his blood, sons and daughter. Believe God. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe the world. Believe God in his word and his promise, my brother and sister. We are righteous when he cleanses with his blood. Before him, we are standing righteous, justified by his blood, justified by him. My brother and sister, believe him. Believe his word. Believe his promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. And he was speaking to me this in heaven and showing it to me. How he had cleansed this person that kept falling and getting up again and falling and repenting, getting up in his blood, cleansing this person, keeping this person white and righteous before God. From the throne, I can see the righteousness, the cleansing, the purification of this person. My brother and sister, hallelujah, God have mercy. Thank you, Lord. But as I'm seeing this, he allowed me to see. We're one step away from the great tribulation. That's how I titled the message. Hallelujah. First in flight, the bride of Christ will be taken out. Any day, any hour, any moment. Our time is due. We're past the time. But God has said to his prophet, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that the time has passed. There's no clock in heaven. I shared this months ago. There's no time. There's no clock. Nothing is left. We're in borrowed time. Extra time given to us. I can see the wall of separation of the Great Tribulation. Behind all that wall was pure pitch darkness. Right where the church is standing now, I can see the light of the Lord, the light of the bride and of Jesus and the bride. And we are still in light, the bride of Christ. The end of grace. And one step after that, my brothers and sisters, I apologize. One step after that, the great tribulation. I can see that invincible wall. My brothers and sisters, there may be a few who have seen the revelation of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I can see it. I can see the wall. I can see the darkness behind that wall. Pure pitch darkness. You cannot see anything in that darkness. The sun will turn into darkness. The moon will turn into blood. On that great day of the Lord, the prophet said, my brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. It's so close. I don't know why some people don't see how close it is. And why do they doubt how close it is? My brother and sister, because it's very close. If you read the word of God and ask the Lord to reveal you his word, hallelujah. My brother and sister, God said to the prophet Joel, 2:27, and you should also know that I am in the midst of Israel. I'm in the middle of Israel. Of course, he is in the middle of our lives. My brother and sister, of course he is. And that I am the Lord your God and none other. And my people shall never be ashamed. There you go. Never God's people will be ashamed. A lot of people think that the bride is being put to shame in the last day. None. We are victorious in Christ. My brother and sister. Verse 28, and afterward, hallelujah, afterward, something is going to happen. And after every event, you say it after. After. And God says afterward. I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see vision. Afterward, Jesus was crucified. He promised the pouring of the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, after Jesus' departure, in front of his disciples, the angel came as a witness. The angel came down as a witness as they stood. They were standing there looking at Jesus, going up like Superman, or better than Superman and Batman, all of them. Batman cannot fly, only Superman. And Jesus was going up, and the cloud went beneath him. My brother and sister, praise your Lord. And they were staring at this glorious moment of seeing the Lord. You know why that moment was so glorious? Because in the same manner he was going, he's coming back again. It was a form of him in glory and power, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ascending. It's so significant. His ascending is so significant because it's a picture of him descending. Thank you, Lord. His ascending was so significant. It was so glorious. It's so marvelous that the disciples did not want to move from that glory of seeing Jesus ascending. Because in the same form, he's descending. Hallelujah, with great power and great glory. And angels are coming back with him. He's coming back with his angel, Matthew 24. And at that very moment, the same Jesus you see, they were still seeing him living. my brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. And the disciple was there gazing, was still astonished by this glory of Jesus going home, ascending. But it's a picture of him descending. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. In the same form, he's coming back. My brother and sister, and that coming back is, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, so important. Because as you believe he went up with great power, he's coming back with greater glory. He went back in the power of the Holy Spirit. God raised him, the Bible says, in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's coming back in the great power and glory of the Holy Spirit again. Thank you, Lord. But this time, the power is going to cover the entire earth. 500 were witnessed after 40 days and 49. He witnessed to them. There's no excuse of man on this earth because Jesus was a witness, witnessed them for 40 days and 49. And at the very moment he's ascending, angels are coming down. They're seeing the angel speaking to the people, that in the same form they're seeing him leave, he's coming back again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. He's coming back again. Now, hallelujah, the bride of Christ is going to meet him in the cloud. About to meet him in the cloud. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. We're first in class. We are first in class. We're about to meet him in the first in flight. We're first in flight. About to meet him in the cloud. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. To enter heaven, my brother and sister. He is the door. He is the door. He is the one who's bringing us in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And also upon the servant and upon the man those days I will put out my spirit. Notice that God, he said already he will put out his spirit. But then he said upon all flesh and upon his servant too. Hallelujah. No one have any excuse that God is real. There's a lot of unbelief that God is real. But in the pouring of the Holy Spirit, every flesh, because he said upon all flesh, will witness that God is real. Even if for a few days or a few weeks, they are going to witness that God is real. 500 people witness that God is real. And when Jesus was going home, my brother and sister, now millions of people and billions are going to experience him because he's come, he's going to put his spirit upon all flesh in the revival. My brother and sister. And it's going to be so good and so awesome that the people staying behind want more. They want the revival to continue. They cannot imagine going into a great tribulation. They want the revival to continue. But God is so merciful that God has a plan that he's going to empower his bride, give his bride, change his bride into the glorified body and send us out to evangelize the people around the earth. Doesn't matter the distance. We don't need to take plane, cars, taxi, nothing, or bikes or anything, or motorcycle or anything. We'll be faster than plane. We will be faster than jet, my brother and sister, going around the earth in the speed of thought, evangelizing the earth. And we will do this quickly. The question is whether do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Are you serving him? Those that will still be alive after the 3 days of darkness on the earth, everyone alive after the 3 days of darkness, God is giving them a second chance. Because everyone God wants to remove, the beasts are going to remove it from this earth during the 3 days of darkness. There will be release. God released the angel of death in Egypt. My brother and sister. And before he did, he told his people to put the blood in the post on the entrance of their home for no one to come out or look out through the windows. No one to come out. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And he released the angel of death, Satan, who had the power of death, the book of Hebrews said. And he went about killing the firstborn. And God came down to protect his own. The devil was going around killing. God was around protecting his own as he promised that he will be with us. He said, I will be in the midst of you through the prophet Joel. Joel 2:27. I will be in the midst of you, he says. Thank you, Lord. You shall know that I am the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none other, and my people should never be ashamed. Don't worry about the 3 days of darkness. God, the Lord, is going to be in the midst of us, people of God. As he did with the children of Israel, he was with them. He protected them. I will come by, the Lord says to Moses. He released the angel of death. Satan went about killing because the Bible says very clear, the thief come about to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the devil. But Jesus said, I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus was in the middle of them giving them life. And when the time was ended, and the three, hallelujah, the 3 days was over, 3 days, 3 nights, and all the firstborn were killed, and it was plenty in Egypt. My brother and sister, because back then it was all about the firstborn. A lot of people don't realize that the firstborn became the king. The firstborn became the king. It was all about the firstborn. My brother and sister, that was their pride and joy. And God killed their pride and their joy in front of their parents, in front of the unbeliever. My brother and sister. So the angel that killed them, and God gave them life. And when they come out of that, they celebrated Passover. We are about to go to heaven to celebrate the wedding of the Lord, of the Lamb of God. My brother and sister, that's what we're going. We're going to celebrate. They celebrate the Passover while on earth. It was a sign of us going to heaven to celebrate Passover in heaven, passing from this earth to heaven, to our new place, to our dwelling place that God has for us, that Jesus has made for us, where he says, I will go and make a place for you. I will make a mansion that where I am, you will also be. Oh, I thank you, Father, for Jesus. My brother, sister, he always been thinking about us. We always been in his heart and mind. We've been in the mind of God and in the heart of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Also upon the servant, upon the man those days, I will put my spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven. In earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke are coming, volcanoes are awakening. They're showing us these pillars of smoke in the cloud that are coming up in Hawaii and another one coming up in Europe right now. They've been sleeping for so many years. These volcanoes are awakening, my brother and sister, and pillars of smoke are being formed in the cloud, as the Lord says. These pillars of smoke are a sign of the Lord returning right now, my brother insisted. Why the volcano that in Hawaii that have been sleeping for over 40 years is waking up? And in Europe, my brother insisted, why so many years they've been sleeping? Because there are signs for the last days that the Lord, this is the time of the Lord now. They're going to continue to awaken because the Lord God said it will be pillars of smoke, blood and fire. Blood and fire. Blood is speaking a word, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. China's getting ready to take over Taiwan. United States said they will fight for Taiwan. So China knows that in the moment they go against Taiwan, they need to be ready to fight the U.S. and NATO send them. No problem. Russia, China, and all these other nations have joined over 30 nations together to confront the U.S. and NATO from every side, from any corner. There are, my brother and sister, all kinds of ships and planes and submarines with nuclear weapons around the U.S., Hawaii, California, and around the world, Canada, ready to bomb these nations, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And only days from now, God said there will be blood, and there's plenty of blood to be shed. My brother and sister, in days from now, we're not talking about months. We're not talking about years. We're talking about days. My brother and sister, it was on the news this week. The Congress is meeting, hallelujah, to approve by the 8th, Thursday of this week, the 8th, Thursday of this week, 100 defense missile for Taiwan to encounter China, my brother and sister. If China wants to stop the delivery of those missiles coming in on Thursday of this week, they need to begin the war on the 7th. My brother and sister, the delivery will be made, and it will be more difficult for them to invade Taiwan. My brother and sister, hallelujah, look at the news, look at the sign. God told us, blood, 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 and pillars of smoke. Hallelujah, word. Millions of people about to lose their life, or maybe billions about to lose their life. How much blood do you want God to talk about? You want God to share and reveal to us? They're about to kill plenty of people, plenty of bodies in the oceans, rivers and lakes, mountains and valleys and cities. Once they begin to launch those nuclear weapons, my brother says, how much blood you think they're going to shed? Plenty of it. It's so much blood that is about to be shed that God is in the Word of God. Blood and fire. Hallelujah. Sister saw the missile coming from the air over the United States, and she saw fire. This sister was sharing online this week. She saw a missile coming all over the U.S., and everywhere she looked, there was fire. Fire, fire, fire across this country. This brother was saying, I want to reach out to people. And this testimony Sister Shreya sent me on Facebook, he wanted to reach out to people, my brother and sister. But he's all over the U.S., missile coming in from everywhere, nation, 30 nations launching missiles this way. They were coming in, hallelujah, almost in every single corner of this nation. And all that he saw was fire, 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 my brother and sister. I don't know if I loaded the audio. Thank you, Lord. Sister Estrella sent me the testimony. All he can see was fire. Fire coming on this nation, missile. And the Lord let him know, you cannot save anyone. It was in him to save people, to lead people to Christ. But it was too late. Too late, he knew. It was too late to try to save anyone. Where can you hide people under this fire and missile coming down? Soon as after the church leaves, this is the way it's going to be. My brother and sister, the nations are ready. The submarines are ready. The carriers are ready. The planes are ready. Hallelujah, with nuclear weapons everywhere in the earth. These weapons will be launched from Central America, South America, Cuba. My brother and sister, everywhere. They're coming flying. Hallelujah, and second and hitting this nation everywhere. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, my God, have mercy. Hallelujah. Blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. Word and fire, and pillars of smoke, volcano. It's happening already. The signs are so clear. My brother and sister, the sun shall be turned into darkness. You know when the sun turns into darkness, it's the beginning of the great tribulation. Yes, we're going to have 3 days of darkness. And during the days, it's going to be dark for 3 days. That's what the Lord will glorify his church. That's what the beasts are releasing, removing all the wicked from the earth, removing all the evil from the earth. There will be a cleansing, my brother and sister, for 3 days and three nights. My brother and sister, like it was in Egypt. But this time will be much greater because much greater evil is on the earth in the last days. The Lord has said through his prophet that much greater evil today is on the earth than there was in Egypt. That was back in those times. My brother and sister. So no 3 days of darkness, there will be greater cleansing going on the earth. Whoever makes it to the end of the 3 days of darkness is by the grace and mercy of God. It's the only way people are going to make it. And those that the Lord that will make it, those are the ones that God has sent, is going to pour his spirit upon all flesh and send us out to evangelize them because they're getting a second chance. We serve a God of a second chance. My brother and sister, the sun will be turned into blood, great tribulation, turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Notice that it said the terrible and great day of the Lord. It doesn't say of the devil. Because a lot of people keep thinking, well, the devil's going to be released on the earth. No, the demon, Nephtali, no principality will be walking on the earth doing all kinds of evil. They will be allowed. But it's a great day of vengeance of the Lord. My brother insisted. For 7 years after the church is gone. That's why the church is practically out of here. You do not want to waste time doing anything else. Nothing else. My brother insisted. The Lord has said that some of people's garments are dirty. Some still have dirty things in the garment. Repent, repent, repent like you never have before. Ask the Lord to cleanse you with his blood, body, soul, and spirit. to cleanse your garment, to cleanse you with his blood, his fire, holy blood and holy fire in Jesus' name. Lord, cleanse me, body, soul, and spirit. Cleanse my garment, my spiritual garment, Lord Jesus. All my bookkeeping in heaven, Lord, from the present, past, and future. Mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua. Ask him in prayer to cleanse you. And not your booking, keeping record in heaven, my brother and sister. Where there's no record that you've done anything. Cleanse them. Ask the Lord to cleanse them. Repent. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Be ready to be going home. Hallelujah. But whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe this applies for the great tribulation, but it will also apply during the day, my brother and sister, of the revival. As the Lord sends us out to evangelize people, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right there, salvation is offered right there at that very moment. That very moment, salvation is offered. I believe some of these people are going home right away from there. Because if their name is in the book of life, they're going home. Because right there, they're confessing the Lord. They're confessing the Lord unto salvation. They're receiving the Lord as the Lord and Savior. At every moment, I believe, hallelujah, the Bible says that many first will be last. These are people that have received the Lord many years ago, but they've been backsliding. A last chance, those that first will be last. And those that last will be first, the Bible says. God's going to save them in the last moment to be coming home with Jesus. My brother and sister, hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, for in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be the deliverers as the Lord has said. Notice something the prophet said. Where would the Lord be during the great tribulation? If you're going to do something, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall the deliverer, as the Lord has said, shall be the deliverer, as the Lord has said. The Lord is going to be an instrument of saving people, his people. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call, there will be a remnant that the Lord is going to call. My brother and sister, all Israel shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, which is Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion and to turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. Look what the Lord will be. He's coming out of Zion. Zion is in heaven, that great holy city of God, Zion. He's coming out of Zion. He's coming to Jerusalem, my brother and sister, to turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. My brother and sister, what an awesome thing is going to happen. Thank you, Lord. Romans 11 talks about the salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, of the Jewish people during the great tribulation. Hallelujah. And praise you, God. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion, shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant to them, take away their sin. Notice that he presents himself to them as a savior. They believe in him. They'll call upon his name. They shall be saved during the great tribulation. Excuse me. As concerning the gospel, Paul says, they are enemy for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. See what I'm saying? God gives the gift of salvation unto whoever he wants or love, we will say. My brother and sister. For yet in time past and now believe in God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief, Paul says. Even so, now how they now believe by the mercy shown unto you, that they shall also may obtain mercy. For God had not shut up all unbelief, hallelujah, or had shut up all unbelief, that he may have mercy on all. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For who had known the mind of the Lord, and who was his counselor? Paul says, God has his plan of salvation for Israel. In another word, and no one is going to change his mind out of that. He's doing that out of love and mercy and covenant, promise he made to the forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made them promise he's going to fulfill in the last days, going to save them. But the great opportunity and the great tribulation for everyone, I believe, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Jesus said. Now, how is it, Brother Elvis, you may ask, that people will call and they will be saved? Because remember, death will elude them, cannot kill anyone anymore. People will still be alive, whether they're hungry, not eating in weeks and months and years, and not drinking in weeks and months or years. It doesn't matter. They're still alive. How can someone be so thirsty over a year? How can someone be so hungry over a year or two or three or four or five? Brother Elvis, they will be alive still. That's the mercy of Father. And those people right there, cut in peace, in two pieces or three by those demons, in the floor crying, right there they can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That's a great opportunity for them, because they will be like, they cannot die because not eating or drinking. They cannot die. They cannot kill them. They will look skinny. I see them walking bones in the Great Tribulation. I've seen people walking bone and they're still alive. If you ask me to explain that to you, I'm sorry, but I cannot explain it to you. I've seen it, and I've seen thousands of them walking bones. I've seen people like dress a few hanging clothing on them, but the whole body was bones, and they're still talking, thinking. They know they're alive, but walking bones. In the Great Tribulation, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can they call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? That's the promise of God. God is making the promise. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said yes. That is the promise of God. That's why we cannot judge. We cannot judge. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Starvation, zombies. The Lord took me so many times in the Great Tribulation, showed me all these things, and I came back. I could not explain why are they in this situation. And people had asked me through email, Brother Obi, why are there so many zombies? Because people had dreams also from the Lord. The Lord shows them. Even for a few seconds, a few minutes, they see these many walking zombies in the Great Tribulation. And because I talk about it on the Lord's house for years now, people say, Brother Obi, why are there so many zombies in the Great Tribulation? Why are we seeing so many? I can't tell you why. I don't know what they're drinking or not drinking, what they're eating and not eating. It might be the lack of food, because people will go years without food. Remember, these nuclear weapons they're going to launch, beginning with the Great Tribulation, they're going to contaminate the waters. No drinkable water anywhere, in no city, okay? All lakes, all rivers, all oceans. Oceans are going to be contaminated, seawater. You cannot catch a fish from the water and eat it and not have a pain in your stomach like eating glass. You eating a fish from the ocean will be like eating glass. The pain in your stomach, it's like those little glass cutting everything in your stomach and you're bleeding through your mouth. Oh, it's painful. Well, that's exactly what will be when you drink water. In the Great Tribulation, when you eat food, all animals, wild animals are going to be contaminated. My brother and sister. Now, here's the thing for the prepper, Great Tribulation preppers, because you have a lot in the United States and around the world. They're called preppers, Great Tribulation preppers, that are staying behind. They're going to protect themselves from nuclear radiation, nuclear weapons, They have built many places where they can hide themselves. A thousand foot, 200 feet under the earth, bottom of the mountain right now. They got a secure place that I hear people talking. They pay $5 million. They pay $25 million for the shelter down there that where they can go, and they have made it for us. I was watching a company online on YouTube who made this shelter very 250 feet below the earth, very secure, metal casing, you know, very comfortable inside. You have enough power for months and years, enough food for months and years, enough water for months and years. These people think they're going to be perfect, right? So they come out in the Great Tribulation, and they are sweet meat for the werewolf and beast. They taste sweet to them when they take a bite of them. Not for them, because they got to come out. They don't have enough food for 7 years. They may have food for 3 or 4 years. Then they come out, that sweet meat for them. They're sweet meat because it's uncontaminated meat that their bodies are, because they have taken care of themselves very well. And the werewolves and beasts will be very happy with them, very, very happy that they have kept themselves so clean and so pure. My brother and sister, yes, they are making bunkers in so many places, and even in the bottom of the oceans are making places. They're making places about as a mountain, different places. They're going to be sweet meat for the beasts when they come out of here. My brother and sister, okay? Because humanity has a price to pay for sin. The price of sin is death. But look at the mercy of God. He's not going to allow this to kill anyone during the 7 great year tribulation. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Have anybody thank God for it? Have anybody say, God, thank you for not allowing anyone to die during the Great Tribulations, for allowing billions of people to go in there for 7 years and not be able to die. No matter what these Nephilim, Satan and all them do to them, death and Hades do to them, it doesn't matter, because they're not able to die. They're able to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. Who knows the mind of God, Paul says. Hallelujah. Who knows it? Who can understand his mercy? My brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Who have given unto him first that he should be recompensed? For of him, through him, hallelujah, for him all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. Amen and amen to God. Be the glory. Our Father, be the glory. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters. Look at his mercy and grace for humanity. They have forsaken his son. They have gone into sin. They have lived a sinful life. And look what God does. Okay, I allow them to go into the Great Tribulation the way they are. The way they are, they won't be allowed to be killed. They can repent and turn to my son. Repent and come to me through my son. What a merciful God we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when you think about the Great Tribulation, you think about evil coming down to the earth. But you don't think about the goodness of God to humanity. Now, neither the devil nor death, nor things to come, anything can separate people from the love of God if they repent and call upon the name of Jesus. Who can separate us from the love of God? If someone confesses sin before God during the Great Tribulation and truly repent from their heart and God forgives them, they're going to be saved. They're going to be saved. They may still have to wait until the 7 year ends, but he's going to save them and bring them home to heaven. My brother and my sister, God is so awesome. He is so good. His love endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just got to see his love. We just got to see his mercy. My brother and sisters, hallelujah. Matthew 19:16. Behold, no one come and said unto him, good master, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He asked God, the Lord, what must he do to receive eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, even God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandment. He said unto him, which, and Jesus said, Hallelujah, yes. And Jesus said this, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses. These three things in the last days are constantly being broken. My brothers, three commandments told this rabbi. My brother and sister, young rabbi, Revi. Because rabbi is only Jesus. Three things. Thou shalt not kill. People are killing all the time on the earth. Thou shalt not commit adultery. People are committing adultery all the time on this earth. Thou shalt not steal. The four, actually. People are stealing on this earth all the time. Robbery are going on all the time. Thou shalt not bear false witness. People are bearing false witness all the time. People are constantly accusing other people falsely all the time. These four commandments out of the Ten Commandments, which the Jewish people said 613 commandments. The church says Ten Commandments. The Jewish people said 613. My brother and sister. Four, the Lord says, so you have to look at it because some people say these four are the most important, some people say. Are they the most important? Because the one that is really important that people break a lot is thou shalt not worship other God, God says. And that's not included in here. Okay? So when people say this was the more important, no. Because this young man knew the word of God, the commandment. So he knew those other ones, but Jesus pointed to these on his life. Because the question is, which commandment I was breaking? And he was breaking these four. Because Jesus did not ask him for 10 commandments or 613 commandments, thou shalt not. 600 thou shalt not or 10 thou shalt not. He gives them four thou shalt not. Four thou shalt not do. Okay? That means that he was breaking these four. You know, when you have a dream from God, where God is rebuking you on one of these commandments, at the 600 thou shalt not or 10 thou shalt not, my brother and sister, pay attention to that dream. Because God is pointing to you. I had a dream this morning. And in this dream, I was shot in the chest. Let me tell you, when I was taken here to the United States the other night, during when China invaded the United States, okay, I was allowed to see China's vessel coming to United States harbors, and they put a bullet between my eyes. So how do you know they were Chinese? Believe me, I could see their tanks. I can see their armies. I can see their ships, okay, the carriers. So fully aware that these were Chinese invading the United States in the days to come. And one of them from the ship pointed his sniper guns straight to where I was. I must have been 50 miles. It could be less, I'm sorry. But about, let's say, 50 miles away. And this sniper had his rifle pointing between my eyes. Where I was standing, I noticed the sniper of China was blowing people's head from the ship in the United States. Wherever people were moving, this ship was full of sniper. And they were pointing their rifle to people walking here in the United States, men, specifically men, not so much women. And they were putting a bullet between their eyes. My brother and sister, even though I saw people running, trying to hide, I saw the bullet even go through bricks, steel, wood, and still hitting the person in the head. It was like a programmed bullet, like one of these computerized missiles that when they send it to a ship or plane, they can control it straight to the plane. These bullets, although they were small, 1 inch long, I would say, they were completely under their control. The bullet was completely under their control. When the sniper sent the bullet, it didn't matter if you turned to the left or right, you were running, you turned to the left, you're trying not to be hit by the bullet. The bullet was coming, chasing you, chasing your movement. It was like a 99.9 calculation of this bullet computerized to hit you on the head. My brother and sister, and I saw people being hit by this bullet, dropping on the floor. And, oh, man, I tried to go under a bridge, I remember, avoiding the bullet, because I was thinking the bridge are made of thick steel and a lot of concrete. So I'm thinking, you know what? This bullet, maybe here, will not go through the steel or the concrete. They're very thick. So I'm thinking that I had a greater chance, right? But right when everything got some kind of peaceful, I could not hear anyone. Most of everyone, they had killed where I was in the state. So then I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm going to come out. But the sniper was still looking for me. You know how the rifle has that telescope where they can chase you. So they were still looking for me. And when I came out, they saw my head. They sent the bullet. And while I was standing, the bullet was coming straight to me. I didn't have a chance to move quickly out of the way. The bullet hit me right between my eyes. And at that very moment, I realized that the bullet hit me. But the bullet did not penetrate my skin. I was like in my glorified body at this moment. And I hope that when the revival is going on, by the end, this is not what the Lord is trying to tell me. When the revival went, China will invade the U.S. I hope that's not right, but it looks like it is. So I was in my glorified body. Well, since I'm coming here to the Great Tribulation, my glorified body, to encourage people and help our people who are staying behind. Okay. So the bullet hit me between my eyes. The bullet did not even put a scratch on my skin, on my new body, my glorified body. I saw when the bullet bounced off my head. Boom, it fell to the floor. And I look at the bullet falling on the floor, bouncing from my head, better than Superman. And I'm like, wow, in my glorified body. Nothing more awesome than this. My brother and sister, this morning, we were in another country visiting, I believe it was, better than Superman. And I was there with my family. And for some reason, I had made a transaction in that country. And I had like $120,000 cash with me that the Lord provided. And it was like the system Biden had set up, the new government, U.S. government has set up already. They have set up the new currency that was already going in effect worldwide. I don't know why, if I was in another country, United States set up the system, the Antichrist system, the U.N. system, and immediately in every single country, it went in effect right away. Right away. Like every computer, like I cannot go to the ATM with my credit card and take out cash. So I decided to make a transaction. I don't know what I sold to these people, I would say, to have cash that I knew I had it in a bag. And I told my wife and children, let's get out of here because I see people looking now. They might want to rob us or something. And we were running. I believe it was like in the island of Puerto Rico. We were hiding. And in this house, this gallery that we were hiding, I was telling my children, keep your head down, because I saw them coming with a gun, shooting the way we were to try to steal the money from us. And they shot my wife, they shot my sons and my daughter, and they also shot me where I was sitting in my chest. But I saw the Lord embracing them right there, the golden light of God of love, embrace each and one of them, boom, and took them in. Like, huh. But I saw the bullet that had hit my chest. I looked at my chest. The bullet had hit me. So I said to the person that was coming to the home, I said, sorry, we were hiding here, but there's like about $120,000 cash here. Take that money. Go ahead and enjoy it. Go hide it. So you can have money, I said to this woman. She looked familiar to me. I don't know who he was that we was helping, I guess. But then she's like, let me call 911. Let me call someone to help you, the ambulance, so they can come for you and help you. Because and I said, go ahead. But I was concerned more for myself. But I noticed, I'm like, why am I not dying? I was thinking, you know, my children, my wife is gone. They died. They went to being with the Lord. Why am I not going to being with the Lord? I was saying, the bullet did do no harm to me. I noticed, well, the bullet hit my chest. And I'm like, again, I'm concerned myself for being killed. But the Lord is showing me again, they cannot kill you with bullet anymore. Because if you're in your glorified body, there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. They cannot harm us anymore. My brother and sister, there's no way possible they can harm us in a glorified body. And that's what the Lord has given us, a glorified body. He showed this to me this morning. We are about to get a glorified body. The signs are so clear. Pillars of smoke, blood, plenty of blood is about to be shed on international water in every country almost. My brother and sister, on this nation, the Lord is going to change us at the last trumpet in the blink of an eye. My brother and sister, opening of an eye, he's about to change us into a glorious body that don't need to eat, don't need to sleep, don't need to drink, won't be hurt by any weapon, any knife, any bullet, any explosive, any nuclear bomb, any hydrogen bomb. Nothing will be able to harm you and I in the days to come. My brother and sister, what is our worry? But simple worry of the flesh. What is our concern? But a simple feeling of the flesh. God told us not to be worried. Hallelujah. Not to be concerned. My brothers and sisters, we worry, hallelujah, too much. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, be not careful for your life. I see people running to the hospital all the time. They are so careful for their life. They care so much for their health. Oh, I got to do this, as the doctor said. How many did the devil trick when the Bible was released and they taking care of themselves running for by seeing? They have not opened their eyes in hell and want to find out how can they get out of there. A lot of them had a really good bank account before they left, millions of dollars. They got tricked for the care of this life. Therefore, I say unto you, hallelujah, the saying of the Lord is so important. When people read the Bible so quickly, oh, I got to finish this. I got to read this chapter. Wait, give me a second. Let me read it. No, take your time. Because this is life and death. My brother and sister, life and death. Therefore I say unto you, be not careful for your life, why you should eat or why you should drink. This is what people work for every day. Oh, I got to go to work. I got to get to work. Hurry up. They get into car accident. They run people over. They end up in jail. Their life is about getting to work every day. And they're so worried. They're eating themselves inside, worrying about work and money. Therefore, I say unto you, be not careful for your life, what you should eat or what you should drink. No, yet for your body. Hallelujah. People pay whatever money they can or don't have. They even put it on credit card for medicine for their body. My brother and sister, speaking with a sister today, because this happened to me, what she was saying, we were both in agreement. You know, usually we get sick during these months, really sick by cold, things like that. But we were praying, and the Lord's been healing us. Like, I got a cold this past month, really bad cold. And pray. By the next day, it was gone. I thought it was going to last me 7 days. I have cold that lasts me even 2 weeks or more, which is not supposed to. By praying, the Lord has taken that away. Now the Lord has allowed us to exercise our faith and pray for a healing and heal us almost instantly. She says she was getting a really bad cold, but she prayed, and the next day it was gone. I say, you see, sister, the things that we worry for, that we don't want to go through, and God take care of us so when we believe him, because it's by faith. He has given us enough faith to believe. And unless you exercise your faith, you won't see the miracle of God in your life. This is why you cannot be depending on someone to pray for you. You have to depend on the Lord for your healing. So it's okay to ask for prayer. Yes, it's okay. But we need to depend on the Lord for our healing, to be a provider, to supply our need according to the riches and glory. Pray for him to supply to us. Increase our faith. Know for your body what you should put on that clothing. People always worry about what clothing they're going to put on. Always going to the store buying stuff. So concerned what they will wear. I got to wear this. I got to match this with that. Always having the latest sneaker, the latest this, or later that. That will never make you happy. Only God can make us happy. Only Jesus can make us happy. What you should put on. Is not the life more worth than the meat? The body than the raiment, the clothing? Behold the fowl of the air, the birds. They sow not, neither reap, nor carry into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feed them. Aren't ye not much better than they? Aren't you better than they? Which of you, by taking care, is able to add a cubit to your stature? And that is so true. My brother and sister, God will take care of us in every way. When we pray, when we believe and pray, and pray and believe. Either way, we need to exercise our faith. Ask by faith. Pray to believe. Believe to pray. And see God working in your life in a mighty way. Being your provider. Opening the door for you. Hallelujah. Keeping that door open. Because the devil, sometimes God will open the door, the devil wants to close it. It's not that he can, it's that you allow him. Because God has given you the authority to rebuke the devil. I remember my friend Raphael. He was struggling with faith one time. All of a sudden, he's in a room with in the big table. He's in the middle of the table sitting. The devil is on his left. Jesus was on his right. And the devil was there threatening him. And he's telling Jesus what the devil is trying to do to him. And the Lord says, I have given my people the power to rebuke the devil in my name. Why didn't you rebuke him? And he's like, Lord, but look, the devil, Lord, the devil. The Lord has given him another revelation. One time, the Lord came to him, and Raphael raised his hand and was rebuking the devil. And Jesus said, why are you rebuking me? He was closing his eyes, looking down, instead of looking to the Lord. Raphael insisted. That was another awesome experience he had. Jesus was right there standing in front of him. He was rebuking the Lord in this revelation. I rebuke you, devil. And the Lord said, why are you rebuking me, my son? Thank you, Lord. Beautiful experience. When he shared this with me, I will marvel. It's just so incredible. But the Lord says, why are you rebuking the devil? He will go in my name. I have given my church the authority. In my name, you will cast out devil. Didn't I say in my word? Rebuke him, my son. But Lord, rebuke him, my son. The Lord wanted him to exercise his faith. And again, Lord, but look, rebuke him, my son. And he, devil, you rebuke him, my son. And the, in the name of Jesus, he took up the devil immediately left. Man, he was like, whoa. Everything inside of him, he needed to exercise. Faith comes out of love for God. Faith come out of that exercise love, you love in God. The spirit that in you is the spirit of faith. It comes out in you when you exercise it. It becomes one with you as you become one with Jesus. That's what faith is. Faith is the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in you. Jesus is the Father in you. You have all three in one in you. You have all the power you ever need to rebuke the devil and to overcome the world, because he overcame the world. I thank you, Jesus. There's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. There's nothing hidden, nothing high, nothing low, nothing that can separate you from the love of God. My brother, that's what Jesus was showing me in that vision the day before yesterday morning. How his power is holding us and sustaining us and keeping us through our struggle and our difficult time. He says, as long as we come, we continue to come to him, he will be there helping us. My brother and sister, God doesn't turn away from us. We turn away from him. That is different. It is man that walks away from God. God doesn't walk away from them that call upon his name. Those that will call upon his name shall be saved, he says. That is a mighty promise to you and I. Thank you, Jesus. Call upon his name, he'll save you. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior, the beloved of our soul. My brother and sister, call upon him. Let him help you. Let him raise you. Let him restore you unto himself. In these last days, his power is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His anointing, his love is agape, almighty love for you and I. Hold on to him. Call on to him. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited this past week. I've been so excited. My ministry is over. My time on this earth is over, he says to me. When Father in the Lord says, it's over for you, my son. A few weeks ago, Jesus said, it's over for you, my son. Father said, it's over for you. And the witness of true matter is settled. It's settled. It's over for me. Then he says to me last week, your ministry is over. I remember the Lord saying, there will come the time when you will not be able to come on the program anymore. It's approaching the day. The day is approaching when I won't be able to come. Revival is my last part of my ministry. The Lord said he's going to change me and send me out. My brother and sister, with a group of other brothers and sisters, the last of my ministry is over. That's it. I don't have much more to do. He said my ministry is over. My brother and sister, it's over. I don't know where people are so focused on so many other things. It's over. The signs of the end. I'm looking for the sign, the three signs he talked to me about. He showed me three signs. Earthquake in California, Eastern Tsunami, the war in Israel. I heard that Benjamin Netanyahu is getting ready. We know that Israel leaders are getting ready for the war against Iran. Of course, they got to study the situation very well. As they've done in the past, Iran has made new weapons, destructive weapons, stealth technology on the drones that will confuse the satellites. And now that they have that are implementing the stealth technology, they can put it on another plane. They just released a second upper level of planes, which I'm sure has knowledge, intelligence from China and Russia, and those new planes. They just bought another set of planes from Russia also. My brother and sister, they are getting ready for the big battle that they know is imminent any day, any now. So the war in Israel, a lot of belief, it's almost 100% belief that before December of 22 is over, Israel is in a full-on war with Iran. Full-on, my brother and sister. All-on war with Iran. Everything about the kitchen sink, they're going to have to throw on Iran. My brother and sister. Some people believe Israel is going to have to use nuclear weapon. Iran may already have nuclear weapon that they might also use. You know how little Israel is? Whatever it is, but God will protect Israel. We don't need to fear about that. That's going to happen. God will protect them. And this Psalm 83 that is about to begin. They're getting ready for it. They're loading all their guns as Iran is. They're about to go head on. And so we know the Eastern Tsunami, there is a meteor now that NASA is trying to disturb. They believe before the end of this month, it's going to hit the Earth. And some are saying this one is big. This one is not like the other one they were able to blow up. This meteor is heading to the Earth. And before the new year comes, they believe it's going to hit. They're going to use technology to disturb the missile, not to hit the Earth. If they break this one because it's so big, it will definitely hit the Earth. And they're trying to avoid it. They're trying to put a ship or some kind of flying vessel where they can push it. And I don't know if they've done this before. They believe that they already have one that they can use. They're going to try to use it to push it off the Earth, not to directly hit the Earth. Now, what have the Lord said through his prophet? There will be a meteor hitting the Earth. This one, if it hits the Earth, it will definitely cause a tsunami that we have seen come to the eastern part of the United States. My brother and sister. So the NASA engineer and them right now, they're doing everything they can in their ability to disturb this missile, to have it, to push it away, not to hit the Earth, is what they're saying. They're trying to keep it as secret as possible, not to scare the people. But we believe this is the one that's going to hit the Earth. The Lord has already spoken his word will not fall on the Earth in vain. It will not return back void, the Bible says. It will fulfill what God says. So something is going to hit the Earth, and we believe it is. Hallelujah. Yes, Israel is the site of the state of New Jersey. It's very small. Very, very small. So NASA's getting ready for this meteor. There's so much happening, my brother and sister. This is coming this way. So the Eastern, we know that this is going to make the Eastern Tsunami happen. We already see an earthquake around the Earth. Volcanoes are waking up, which also it's a shaking in the bottom of the Earth. There is a tremendous pressure in the bottom of the Earth right now that can cause the earthquake in California any day now, any day. Remember when the Lord revealed it to me, it happens in December. December is the month. I saw the Lord, I don't know if it was regard to the earthquake in California a few weeks back, pointing December. I don't know what the Lord was showing me that's going to happen in December, but it could be the three signs he's given me that have been in YouTube for a few years now, happening in December. He was pointing to December to me of this year. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And then the Lord is confirming it through other prophets saying something is coming in December. I believe Sister Celestia said, the other sister said it, something is coming in December. My brothers, days are going by fast. Okay, whatever happens, it don't matter whatever happens. Even if the three signs happen in a week or less or in a day, it don't matter because I will see it happen. I immediately will know. I'm still wondering whether the 3 days of darkness are this month. If it is this month, I will look for the 3 days of darkness immediately after the three signs. Okay? Immediately after the three signs, after the earthquake in California and the Eastern Tsunami, I will immediately be looking for the 3 days of darkness. I mean, I'm already been telling my children, when you see the red cloud, let me know. We're getting ready with whatever we can. We have enough candles, lights, things, whatever we can. Make sure you have all you need. Because when this earthquake in California hits, my brother and sister, now, scientists believe that Russia has the weapon to make earthquake happens. They have done that in the past. And right now, Russia and China can be causing this earthquake, these volcanoes to wake up. Okay? If they have that weapon and they're using it, you know they're going to use it for the earthquake in California, because it will be the easier way for China to invade Taiwan, having the United States being occupied with a mighty earthquake that destroyed California and with a mighty eastern tsunami, which they can cause. If they have the weapon, they're going to use it. You know that. And if they're looking to this month, and God is saying it's going to happen this month, you can already know what's coming. The thing here is, are we ready with the Lord? Are we in repenting? Are we committed? That's where we need to be. The dream this morning was so real. It was so real, my brother and sister. So, so real. The bullet they put on my chest this time, I can see the bullet. Like my chest was like a bulletproof chest, but even better than a bulletproof chest. Well, best, I'm sorry. That the bullet hit, and it was holding the bullet still in its place. I can see the bullet on my chest. I was not bleeding at all. Not a single drop of blood was coming out of my chest. But I can look to my chest and see the bullet. The bullet did not penetrate in my chest. Again, just like when I was shot by the sniper between my eyes, it did not penetrate in my skin. This bullet did not penetrate it. I mean, I can see the bullet. They are still in my chest. But it did not penetrate it. It did not cause me bleeding, nothing. They not made a hole on my chest. It was like my chest was holding the bullet there. The force, I can still feel it there, but nothing. It did not kill me. That was surprised that my other family were killed by the bullet, but I was not killed. They went to being with the Lord. I still got embracing them and taking them home. I'm like, what about me? Thank you, Lord. But that's what happened when you have a glorified body. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can hurt you. But I remember the Lord did tell me when we finished our work, we came to Jesus and said, go home, my son. And we were flying home. Thank you, Lord. So God has a work for us to do down here. There's no weapon formed against us that can stop us. My brother, we don't need to be concerned about death or anything. God has a mighty plan for us. And all we have to do is trust the Lord. And I'm just here for this revival left, and that's it. I know we got a few things to see, the three signs and the darkness, and then with the revival right away, the change, the glorification, the transformation, and revival. The Lord's going to call us by name during the 3 days of darkness. We're changing merely into a glorified body right there in less than a second before the Lord, and he'll send us out. Go, go, my children. Go, go, go. He'll send us directly to whom? He wants us to go. Ask to ghost to, hey, family. He's going to send you to family across the earth. You got to finish a task. Evangelize those people. Lead them to Christ with love and kindness. And they're going to see you moving in the power of God. You don't need to eat. You don't need to drink. You don't need to concern yourself about those things. Not even what to dress. He's going to give us our spiritual clothing right away. Really comfortable clothing. My brother and sister, you're not going to sweat. You're not going to sweat at all for the glory of God. You're going to move like lightning. My brother and sister, faster than lightning, and be able to go and do the final work of God, the final rain, the latter rain. We are chosen for the latter rain. My brother and sister, reach out to them, to lead them to Christ, lead them to the Lord. The Lord has been speaking to his prophet a lot about Acts chapter 2, my brother and sister, because in Acts chapter 2 is where the disciple the Apostle Peter laughed unto the Lord after the pouring out the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, Peter says in 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days. Underline last days there. Saith the Lord. This is a promise of God that you and I can always look for, to his promise. The Bible said, look to his promise. Whatever he says is going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen? And we're in the last day. Saith the Lord, I will put out my spirit upon the flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I, my servant, and I, my hangman, I will put out on those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. This has been happening for over 2,000 years. And I will show wonders of heaven above, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapors and smoke. Three signs, clear defined, in the Bible that are happening now. The shed of blood that is about to happen. I don't know if the blood will begin with Israel and Iran first, before the United States. I believe so, yeah, because it's part of the three signs. So we'll begin with Israel and Iran, and then China, Russia, and then against the United States, and NATO. And NATO are so many nations. My brother and sister, blood will be shed like I had not shed on this earth for a long time. Never since the beginning have been shed so much blood. It's so significant, this blood, that is one of the last day signs. Blood and fire. Fire missile. Those missiles are coming down all over this country, all over the earth. And vapors and smoke, volcanoes. All that vapors and smoke up in the air, my brother and sister, which also vapors and smoke can come out of nuclear weapon all over the cloud. I just know that when the Lord took me to the Great Tribulation, I saw the sea was contaminated, the lakes, the river, all over the United States. As I went up north, the Hudson River was practically dry, I remember, which is connected with the sea between New York and New Jersey. And people were going down with buckets to try to get some water out of the water would look so dirty, brown, dirty water out of the Hudson River. People were still going down to bring water to drink. I saw some people using a good idea, boil the water. But you know what? Even after I saw people, because the Lord had me standing there as people were boiling the water with wood, they put in there three stone. They put a pot on the stone. They put wood on there. They lit it up the wood. And the whole pot was full of water. The water was really boiling. I could see the smoke coming out of the water. Then they were cooling down the water to drink it. And the water was still bitter. It was poisonous water. It causes, I see people falling on the floor, holding their stomach pale by this side, crying in pain because of the water they were drinking. And they teach it right now in the army anyway. They teach you, you want to clean out water, you know, just boil it. Boiling the water is one of the best ways to clean it. Filter the water, boil the water. They were using clothes, personal clothes, right, to filter the water. One, the water to dress, and then women dress, and then boiling it, and still was painful and contaminated. Because nuclear weapons, nuclear radiation, when it goes into the water, it kills the fish right away. That's why the Russian for years has been coming up with solution for radiation, nuclear radiation, where they tested a missile into a lake and throw the solution, and no fish died. The nuclear device that exploded in the water did not harm the fish, which is, we don't have that technology in the U.S., especially available for the people. They don't have it, my brother and sister. So it's terrible. Terrible. They've been preparing for this for 50 years in Russia, for nuclear weapons and much more. But not here. People here have been trusting on their own pride. It's terrible, my brother and sister. So I saw people dropping on the floor in pain. Pain. My brother and sister, because of the water contaminated. So there was no drinkable water anywhere. None. My brother and sister. Now, people complain now that the air is contaminated with all these nuclear weapons going off. It's going to throw everything out, temperature, everything. There's going to be a terrible mess. My brother and sister. Blood and fire, vapors and smoke. The sun should turn into darkness. My brother and sister, imagine that. Pitch black during the day. I mean, black during the day. I have walked like a 12 p.m. during the Great Tribulation, 12 and 1, which that's where you get the best sun right now in the daytime. And it's black in the Great Tribulation. And I look into the cloud like, where's the sun? No sun. No light. The sun is black. Darkness. Darkness, complete darkness. Like, wow. And then you see demons and things walking in the middle of the day. Demons. Now, another thing I noticed, most of the demons that comes out of the pit, they come out in the afternoon when it gets even worse in darkness. Okay? The people that are turning into werewolves and beasts, they have a couple hours break. Like from if someone had turned early in the morning into a werewolf and they're going out hunting for meat, then about 12, 15, he turned back into the person again, naked, to tear the clothing. They can have to find whatever clothing they can find again to put it on. So for some reason, when people turn into werewolf and beast, they cannot stay in clothing. They break it. They tear it off their body. Because all the fur, all the hair covers their nakedness. You cannot even see their nakedness. Even as a female or man, you don't see it. My brother and sister. And werewolves go completely out of control. Beasts, they can still think and speak, but the werewolf completely out of control, go hunting. They don't attack the beast or the beast of werewolf. For some reason, they get along. They're brothers. I saw a werewolf or a beast calling another one brother. For some reason, they become brothers, or they call themselves brothers. Okay. Well, people in the army call themselves brothers, too. When they're out in the battle, so, you know, again, so it's terrible for those 7 years. And then since the Eastern Tsunami destroyed so much, I didn't know how much it destroyed until I saw it last time. No Charlotte, no Raleigh, no Greensboro, no Carolina. All these major cities here were completely washed out by the sea. Completely wiped out, my brother and sister. I was talking with the people there, and they were telling me, nope, they're gone. None of these cities. Only Asheville up here in the mountain, North Carolina, where we are, where we're still somewhat standing, because the southern part of Asheville will also be harmed. That's why here we need to ask the Lord where that he wants us to be. Because their part here, the Lord showed me, I believe it's the second wave, second tsunami, is going to reach up here very much, my brother and sister. So we need to ask the Lord where that he wants us to live, have our homes. Everything, you know, everything has to be guided by the Lord. You saw Brother Richard in his testimony in heaven. He shared that God loves when we go to him and we ask him to lead us, guide us. Because he knows where we are secure and what is best for us. We always think that we know what's best for us, and we're so wrong. We are just so wrong. My brother and sister, God have mercy on us. But when we pray and ask God to lead us, guide us, to tell us where he wants us to be, and again, when God speaks to you and show you where, then all you have to do is be obedient and go there. Don't tell God you don't have enough money, you don't have enough resources. Because God will never lead you wrong. On the contrary, you will find out that, like God did with Abraham and them, every time God led Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to a place, even though they didn't have enough resources, remember when God says to Isaac, Isaac, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in this land, and I will supply your need. I will provide. Jehovah Jireh, remember? And Isaac made a well in that place, and dwell in that land. His father Abraham ended up in Egypt. Jacob, his son, ended up in Egypt. But Isaac dwell where the Lord told him to dwell, by the guiding of the Lord. And you know that all the time that Isaac dwell there with all his servants, he has a two sons there, Jacob and Esau. They were completely prospered. The land was prospered. The abundance was there, my brothers and sisters. Totally there from God. God supplied their need according to riches and glory. God was faithful to them there. Just by him obeying God to dwell in that land there, my brother and sister, and wait there upon the Lord, and obedient. Obedient to God is better than sacrifice. Right there, God took care of them. Like Elisha dwelling by the river, then Elisha go to the house of the widow. God was guiding him by supplying his need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My brother and my sister. Now, look, I said I was going to read in the beginning about Genesis and the end time. Look at Genesis 49. The Bible said, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that we shall be before you in the last days. What is he talking about? The last day, it is Jacob's trouble. Jacob went through 7 years of trouble when he worked for Leah, worked for Rachel, before he spent another year leaving that land by the leading of God, my brother and sister. But Jacob went through 7 years of trouble. Hallelujah. But Jacob called up his son, the 12 tribe of Israel, that will be in the last days. Shalom, Sister Renee. Notice how Jacob knows that his children are the 12 tribe of Israel that will be standing, because God promised it would happen, that there will be a seed for Jacob. There will be a seed that came from all the way from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See how they trusted God? In spite of what they were going through, what they were living, what they had, they trusted the word of God as better than gold and better than silver. My brother and sister, money was not the first thing for them, but the word, the promise of Father was the most important things, the most valuable things to their lives. Look how he called up his son. Jacob called upon his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that which shall be before you in the last day. What will happen? What will come to pass for your life in the last days? What will come to pass in the last day? The 12 tribes. Notice how God talks about the end from the beginning. This is Genesis 49. Jacob is calling them. What's going to happen to them in the last days? Verse 2. Gather yourself together and hear. Jesus answered Jacob, the first step with God is to hear what the Spirit has to say. This word, Jesus said, is spirit and truth. My brother and sister, hear it, the word of the Lord. Have an ear to hear it. Gather yourself together and hear. Jesus answered Jacob, hearken unto Israel, your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my mind, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. What does he stand for? The only one that has all this excellency is our Lord, is our master, is our rabbi, our Lord Jesus Christ. Reuben is a type of Christ. My brother and sister, in the last days, his excellency in our lives, his power in our lives, his dignity in our lives is what's going to hold us together to wait for him to be changed, to be transformed at the last trumpet that is about to sound. We are about to change. We are about to be transformed. The excellency of his power is going to do this. What power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power God will use to glorify our body in the last days, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He is the beginning of our strength, our mind. Hallelujah. Our firstborn from the death is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Reuben, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 4, unstable as water, thou should not excel. Because thou went up to the father bed, then defiled, hallelujah, thoweth, and went up into my couch. Hallelujah. Defile, sin, fornication, have no place in God. That's why he called us to be righteous, holy, pure unto the Lord. That each in our way must be holy, as the Lord is holy. Our thinking must be holy, pure, clean. Anything unclean goes through your mind, repent. Any unclean action in your life, repent. Any unclean language in your life, repent. My brother and sister, these things don't please God. They will not be in his presence. They're not in heaven. They will never be in heaven. And the moment the devil turned this way, he was kicked out of heaven. Nothing sinful, nothing that will do evil, no idolater will ever enter into the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. They will not enter in the kingdom of heaven. That's why he has to come a new creature. He has to repent. My brother, only the new can come to heaven, not the old. The old to God passes away. Our old way of speaking, sinful. Our old way of living, sinful. All that needs to pass away from us. We don't steal no more. We don't lie no more. We don't deceive no more. We don't cheat no more. Now we live for God. And the newness of life he's allowing us and giving us to live for him. My brother and sister, God help us. Pray every day to being holy and righteous and pure before him. Ask the Lord to help you to walk in this newness of life. We don't want to practice sin no more or evil. We live for him now. Whether we live or die, we will be for the Lord. We will be with the Lord. That's the promise he's given us. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5, Simon and Levi, our brethren, instrument of cruelty, are they in their habitation? Notice how Israel need to go through these different difficult times, Jacob's trouble, because among them they have Simon and Levi. And these are instruments of cruelty, a habitation. My brother and sister, there's a half of them that have taken the vaccine, Pfizer and Moderna. There's another 36,000 of them or more. Now I believe there's 100,000 of them, 136,000 of them now, more. They have taken a vegetable-based vaccine. That is only, well, no chemical, is strong enough to empower your immune system to fight the COVID-19 virus. It doesn't change your DNA in any way, shape, or form. It only empower your immune system. And whether the government have accepted it or not, it doesn't matter. What matter is that they belongs to God and they just want to serve God. So among the two tribes, you got Simon and Levi that are brethren, instrument of cruelty in their habitation. This helps you understand what's going on in Israel now. This is exactly what I'm reading to you now that is happening in the nation of Israel. They are brothers. But among these brothers, you got Simon and Levi that are brethren, instrument of cruelty in the habitation, my brother and sister. I don't know from which of the two Benjamin belongs to, if it's Simon or Levi, But there's a bunch of them there that my brother and sister need to be cleansed and purified. We cannot be instrument of cruelty, my brother and sister. Amongst our habitation must be holy and righteous, as the Lord has said. So you notice why Jacob's trouble has to be to cleanse that nations to the bare bone completely, because there's cruelty in there, the Word of God says. From the beginning, God told us. That's why you listen to God. You want to know what's happening in Israel right now? Read Genesis 49. And God tells you what's happening among them right now that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be shakening. Jacob's trouble is a shakening to cleansing, to obedience. Same thing God's doing among the church. Look how God is closing the church system, removing the false prophet, the false teacher, the false pastor, the false apostle. Notice how the false apostle now in the last days, they're supporting gay and lesbians. They're supporting abortion. Why are they doing this, Brother Ovi? Because they are not of God. Nothing of God will do such a thing. No one of God will support such a thing. No man or woman of God that has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them will support abortion, will support homosexual gay, or will support lesbian gay, neither. No one that has the Spirit of God will call Jesus a curse, the Bible says. They will not call Jesus a curse. No one by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. No one can, when you call the Lord Jesus Lord, it's by the Spirit of God. Truly serve them. I hear a lot of pastors and preachers. They don't call Jesus Lord. They don't call him Lord. And immediately I see the disconnection of them and God through their preaching, because they don't call him Lord. My brothers and sisters, why are they selling themselves out so cheap for money? For millions of dollars, because they've never been of the Lord. And what is God doing to those places? He's bringing them down to nothing. Hallelujah. They will not be standing before the Lord any longer. The Lord of the earth, the Lord of heaven, they're not going to be standing. He's going to bring them down stone by stone, my brother and sister. As the Lord says, the Pharisee and scribe was doing hypocritical service in the time of Jesus. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, you see this temple, he said to the Pharisee and scribe, yes, still they are alive, still those temples standing. Stone by stones are coming down. They will now be standing. It's the same judgment God is bringing in the last day to every single church that is not his. No temple that is not his will be standing. He's going to bring them down stone by stone. He's bringing down the leaders first. The Roman came into the temple, killed the Pharisee and scribe, put them through the sword, and then brought the temple down stone by stone, my brother and sister. God is doing the same in the last days. Stone by stone. These churches in America, France, Germany, Spain, all these countries, Canada, Mexico, all these hypocritical churches that's been calling themselves Church of God, that support lesbian, homosexual, and abortion. Stone by stone, the leaders are coming down first, and stone by stone, none of them will be standing. If you have a heart for this church, repent. Have a heart for Jesus. Have a heart for God. Because you're going to see them fall right before your eyes. And if you love them, you are going to cry bitterly before God. God is bringing them down. My brother and sister. Last week, Senate passed a bill that the churches, if the churches who are in practice, churches have been approved by state, don't marry gays and lesbians homosexual marriage. If they don't marry, then give them a license. They're going to have to stop doing service. They're going to close them down. It's been passed by Senate last week. My brother and sister. What does this mean, Brother Elvie? God's bringing those buildings down. God is bringing them down. My brother and sister. Okay? They're not going to be standing any longer. God has spoken it. Now the fulfillment before our eyes are coming to pass. He has spoken it for years. And many thought that these people were crazy. And, oh, how can they say this? These are the house of the Lord supporting homosexuals and lesbians and abortion for so many years. Now with our own eyes, we're seeing the power of God bringing them down. They're not going to be standing. God said no. Because they've been standing for evil and wickedness. Just like the Pharisee and scribe. All the service before God were hypocritical service. It was not to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Although they called themselves the church of servant of God, the sons of Abraham, they called themselves. And Jesus rebuked them, told them that they were the sons of the devil, he said to them. My brothers and sisters, so are these last day churches that support homosexual and lesbian. They are the devil. And when I said this 10 years ago, oh man, I thank God that I did not get killed by saying it. Oh, how can you say this? Who are you to say these things? My brother and sister, when God had already spoken it to me in heaven, the Lord has spoken these things to me in heaven about the wickedness and evil amongst his church here in the United States. The Lord has spoken it to me very clear. The practice that these churches have been doing before him, he can see them clearly. They cannot hide from him. They can hide from men, but they cannot hide from God. My brother and sister, he is bringing his judgment upon this earth. Hallelujah. And now we can see. Now the one he's going to be working with are the humble one. Those that will recognize Jesus as the Lord and Savior and humble himself. Repent. Repent of the wicked ways. Turn into God for mercy. They will find mercy. For grace, they will find grace from him. For love, they will find love. For fathership, they will find a father. For Savior, they'll find a Savior. For counseling, they'll have the Holy Spirit in them. From God, my brother and sister. God is willing to welcome those that comes to him. Jesus says to me in heaven, though those that will come to him, he will help them. They must come. Hallelujah, you must come to the Lord. You must come to God. Ask the Lord for help. He will help you. My brother and sister. Hallelujah, for those that have a heart for churches, the church is a building to these people that are married, homosexuals, or lesbians, and are promoting abortion, telling young lady that's been having abortion that God will forgive them. And they turn back months after months having more abortion. Oh, don't worry. God will forgive you. Instead of telling them, stop, repent and stop what you're doing because I'm sinning willingly. The Bible talks about sinning willingly, my brother and sister. They're willingly sinning. They know what they're doing. And so instead of repenting and stop, they continue to do it. My brother and sister, it is better for you to enter into heaven without an arm or without an eye than with both of your eyes into hell, Jesus said. My brother and sister, they think that they want to enter into heaven with both of their eyes or both of their arm or both of their leg. And they're preserving themselves in one piece. But the way they're doing it, they're going to enter into hell in the lake of fire with two legs, two arms, and two eyes in that whole body and be tormented forever. No, that's not the will of God. You got to be willing to lose the important thing of your life that you value so much. My brother and sister, hallelujah. If it's never for them to be married, don't be married. If it's never for you to be with a man, don't be with a man. It's better for you to enter heaven, never getting married, because it was not possible for you for whatever reason. Single. The Lord will marry you in the millennium. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Yes. The Lord said yes. You enter heaven single now. If you are single, if you're not able to get married and you're single, don't worry. God will give you a companion in the millennium. God made the earth for man to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, to have children. God would love for you to have children in the millennium and fill the earth, fulfill the earth as he told Adam and Eve in the garden. Go and be fruitful and multiply. If you want to get married, multiply, have many children in the millennium, and will please God, because that's what he told Adam and Eve. Go and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. Don't worry about being married so you don't marry the wrong one. If God is not telling you to be married, don't worry about it. Pray that you may have peace about it. If you've been worrying about it, the worry may be from the evil one. Repent. I say, Lord, give me peace about being married. If you want me to be married, Lord, provide me a companion, say to the Lord. If you're already married, stay with your partner. Pray you stay with your husband, your wife. Faithful. There's no time to be unfaithful anymore. The great tribulation is one step away. One step away. My brother and sister, so close. Why would you want to stay behind and live the most horrible 7 years of your life? My brother and sister, no, don't do that to yourself. Don't cause this pain unto yourself. Go home to be in the Lord. Go celebrate Passover like the children of Israel after the 3 days of darkness in Egypt. Come home to heaven. Celebrate Passover with us. Celebrate Christmas with us. Celebrate Thanksgiving with us in heaven. Celebrate the wedding celebration in heaven with us. Let's eat soup together, vegetable soup together in heaven. Come, the tables are served. The meal is served already, the Lord showed me in heaven. I saw this beautiful long table, endless long, ready for the bride of Christ, ready for the guests that are coming in to enjoy the wedding. My brother and sister, I saw Jesus sitting at the table practically alone, waiting. My brother and sister, waiting, hallelujah, for his bride to come. To sit at the table with him and eat with him. Eat at the table with him. Hallelujah. And enjoy what heaven has to give. And heaven has plenty to give. God has plenty to give. Endless. Endless to give to you and I. It rejoiced him when he took me to his garden. He says to me that it's given him joy to see us enjoy the fruit of his garden. That he planted with his own hand. His own garden. He planted his own garden. He wants us to come to his garden and enjoy the fruit in his garden. My brother and sister, why would you miss that? Why would you miss the kind of meeting the Lord face to face like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Moses spoke with the angel of the Lord, with God face to face. Why would you miss that? No. Let's be wise in the last day. Come home. Come home. Hallelujah. God already made a new heaven and earth for us. Where dwelleth the just, the Bible says. My brother and sister, come home. It's waiting for us. Come to heaven. Come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everything is ready. Everything is prepared. Enjoy what God has for you, what he prepared before the foundation of this earth. It's all ready for you. Come and enjoy it. The feast. The children of Israel celebrated Passover in Egypt. They were passing from Egypt into God's plan of salvation. We are passing from this earth into God's plan of salvation in heaven. Where we will receive the crown of life. My brothers and sisters, for serving him, for coming there, for making it there. He'll give you the crown of life reserved to them that love him. He had many crowns for us. But one of the crowns, hallelujah, he's going to give us is the crown of life. Thank you, Lord. Don't miss the crown. This is the crown that, hallelujah, indicate, praise you, Jesus, that you have made it. And now, hallelujah, you receive the crown. Paul says to the Corinthians in 9:25, every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. See, crown is incorruptible. It cannot be compared to the earthly crown, because the earthly crown corrupt until they die off. They fade away. They go, don't last forever. But the crown that the Lord has for us is a incorruptible. It can never fade away. It can never be destroyed by age, by anything. It will always be your crown. Your crown of life will always be. You can go to your house. You can set it in a special glass place you have, or set it next to your bed, because no one's going to steal it anyway in heaven. In your room, even in your living room, on your table, right there, the crown. Everyone in heaven knows that's your crown. You walk away, you go to the park, you play with the children, you go to the water park, you go to a different place of worship in heaven, place where they share the word, entertainment place where they share the word, the gospel is being preached, share. The revelation of God's being revealed. Go to the lake. There are many places in heaven ready. They have these place things that you can say and takes you around heaven, showing you all heaven. Like these electrical cars that we're seeing on the earth. They have something similar to that. I've seen people getting on it, sitting on it. The door closes and it takes you around heaven, and you can get to see all the beauties of God. All the flowers, all the birds, all the butterflies, all these beauty. Things, birds that we had on the earth millions of years ago that disappeared, they're in heaven. And you see all this beauty, you'll be like, wow, that's so beautiful, those colors. You will know in heaven that these colors we had on earth millions of years ago, we had no more anymore. And you will be stunned by the beauty of this color. And you will have dresses with this color also, fine linen dresses. Very comfortable. And it goes on, and you're just enjoying in the presence of God all the beautiful things. No evil is allowed there. No worry, no concern. Joy in the Holy Spirit. It was in heaven, my brother and sister. Peace, everlasting peace. Hallelujah. God provides you with everything you need. You don't need to pray for things. He gives them to you. My brother and sister, your joy will give him joy. It will give him seeing you. I saw Father. The hand of Father, when I was writing, God allowed me to write in his hand. Father, large hand. And he was rejoicing with the children as the water park, like a water park. The water was coming out of the ground, flying into the air and doing circle in the air, doing different things, and going back so neatly into again and again and again. And the children, you can hear their laughter and rejoicing and playing around. And Father was looking at them rejoicing. I could not see Father at this moment. But I can, in heaven, since you're connected with God, you're one with God. When he's rejoicing, he's there. You know he's there. You know he's rejoicing. His joy. Ah, so awesome. Thank you, Father. I love you, Father. Bring me home, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I tell you, you just rejoice in his presence. He enjoys you rejoicing because you're seeing his promise come to pass. You see? Everything he's promising, his word for us, new heaven, new earth. The former things have passed away. Now they're new, he says. My Lord, my God. He's so awesome. So awesome, God. He has it all ready for us. The dwellings are ready. Heavens are ready for you. Hallelujah. Pray you come home to heaven. There's a dwelling, a house, a mansion waiting for you. When you see it, the first thing you're going to say, that's the way I love for my house to be. You say, how do he knew I love this way? God knows your heart better than you. God studies your heart. The word of God says. He knows it, what's the deeper things of your heart is, deeper desire of your heart. He knows. My brother and sister, everything he's going to give to you will make you happy like you not imagine. The joy and the peace and the happiness you're going to have. Wow. It goes on and on and on. It's all waiting for you. It's ready. Jesus, I made it all ready. My brother and sister, in the time when I saw Father a few months ago carrying people on his arm to his chest, like for them to hear or feel his heart, how his heart is for us. Father God, his heart, Jesus' heart, the Holy Spirit's heart is for you and I. God's heart is, if you want me, what's in God's heart? Plenty of love, endless love for you and I. Endless. I saw God loving these men and women. My brother and sister, greater love than any father, greater love than any mother on earth, Father has for you and I. He is a true father. No father. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for Father. No father can love us like him. No way possible. You can put all the heart of every single man on this earth that have love for the children. You can combine all their heart together if you can. And all their heart combined cannot come close, not even for 1% of the love that God has for you and I. All the heart on this earth. You can start combining the heart from since the garden, Adam and Eve, all the way to the end, millions and billions of people and trillions of people. You can combine all the heart of the fathers and mothers that love the children until death. And all the heart combined cannot come close to the love of God. I don't believe not even by 1% of the love that God has for you and I. They don't even come close. My brother and sister, Jesus said to me in heaven the other morning that as long as we keep coming to him, God will never give up on us. I will never give up on you. As long as you keep coming to me, he says. You can give up on God, but God will never give up on you. Never. If people end up in hell, that's the choice they'll make by their own choice. People that got baptized in it was by their own choice. It was not by any other reason. They choose to end up there by their own wickedness and evil. If they call upon the name of the Lord, they would have been saved, as the Bible says. They would end up in heaven. That's the promise of God. My brother and sister. Sister. Jesus, my rock, as long as you keep coming to the Lord, God will never give up on you. Never. He will always be there for you. Brother Joseph, the same. Everyone listen, please. Jesus told me this. God told me this in heaven. As long as you keep coming to him, he will never give up on you. Even when you struggle, keep coming to him in repentance. Repent every single day, every single hour, every single night. Call upon the name of the Lord. Pray without ceasing. He says, he will not give up on you. He will not. He will keep raising you up, cleansing you again every day. He showed me this in heaven, from heaven. I was sitting on the throne looking down a couple of mornings ago. God showed me this. I tell you, when I came back, oh, man. I saw whole hell down here was waiting to try to attack me. They didn't want me to shut this word because they knew whatever God gave me in heaven and he was bringing me back, they wanted to stop me from sharing the words. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My brother and sister, if God is for us, who can come against us? Lord, happy pray again. 2.5 hours more. After that, stayed up. It didn't matter anymore. Thank you, Lord. Coming with tremendous presence and anointing from heaven. Why would I worry for anything? Thank you, Lord. He gave me rest. He gave his servants rest, the Bible says. Keep coming to the Lord. Keep coming to God. No matter what happens in your life, keep coming to him. Keep praying to him. Keep seeking him. When the Lord was showing me this, I keep thinking about Brother Joseph, who's in the chat room, who's listening. Please, brother, keep doing it. Keep going to the Lord. Depend on him. Cry out to him. Don't give up ever, no matter what happened. Thank you, Lord. He said he will help you. He said he will help his people. Help us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our heart burned for him. Gotta keep coming to him. He's our helper. Verse 6 of Genesis 49. Oh, my soul, come now thou unto their secret, unto their assembly, my honor. But now thou united, for there in anger they slew a man, they slew a man, and their self-will they dug down a wall. Notice that people can choose to do evil. As Jacob says here, my brother and sister, they dug a wall. Self-will, self-sin is what they were practicing. And those self-sins are really dangerous. Verse 7, cursed be their anger. They did it in anger. For it was fierce, my brother and sister. If you have a problem with anger, we all gone through that. Repent and ask the Lord to help you with your anger. Please repent with all your heart. If you have a problem with anger, fast and pray. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. And their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Notice that? Judah, verse 8. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thy enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. I believe Benjamin is from Judah. I believe he said he was from the tribe of Judah. I'm not sure. I might have to look it up. It just came to my mind now. Judah, he's from Judah. I believe I heard him say one time, one of his speech. So this is why the rabbi then bought it from Benjamin to come back to office. Because they know this very well. He will be in the neck of his enemy, the neck of Iran. No other leader has been so on the neck of Iran in the year that's been in office like Benjamin Netanyahu. Not even Eric Sharon, the former prime minister that passed away. My brother insisted. Benjamin has been in their neck. They've been Iran even planned to take them out, as they were said on the news. They don't like him because he's been on their neck. Biblical. Amen. It says, thou shalt be at the neck of thy enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Okay? And so that's why Bibi has been so hated, Benjamin Netanyahu. Verse 9. Judah is a lion whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up, who stood up down, he touches as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rout him up? There you go. See, when Benjamin Netanyahu was in office, he has support from other countries, including the United States, other NATO country. And that's why Iran hated it, because they put sanction on Iran. Europe put sanction. United States put sanction. Their banking was frozen. Iran has billions of dollars that they could not even move to support the terrorist franchise. Benjamin was a powerful tool against them. Now that he's back into office, Iran is trembling. Because he will be on their neck again, like he was before. Even with all these law that the UN is passing, Benjamin had never cared for the UN, to say it in more peaceful words. He had never cared for the opinion of the UN in the past. I don't think he will care for what they pass or say in the future anyway. He had not cared. He only cared for the safety and protection of his people. So him being back into office, and it's so prophetic because the court put him away for 7 years, 7 year great tribulation, and decided now to overturn all that judgment and bring him back again, which it clearly shows that he's gonna be there another 7 years. Whatever years he's going to be there, he's going to be helping the Israelites through the worst time ever. Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. There you go. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet unto Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Wow. Notice, I've never seen this before. I just saw it. I just saw something here, final end time prophecy here. I never seen this prophecy before. I just saw it. Look what God says here in verse 10 of Genesis 49. No, the lawgiver is a koi, okay? Until Shalom come, the Lord come. Now, unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. The gathering of the people is when the Lord comes down in the great tribulation. He gets on his white horse. He's come down to fight and defeat his enemy. And he says, well, Israel, my brother and sister, the gathering of the people, he gathers, according to Daniel 11, three cities. And they go into those cities. And he sends his angel to protect them, Michael and his angels. And the Lord comes down and protecting Jerusalem there. And those that are there, he's going to gather them and protect them there. My brother and sister, the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh, that's the feet when he comes down, and according to Isaiah, and his feet divide the mountain. The Lord comes and divide the mountain comes. Shiloh comes. My Lord, my God. Okay? So Benjamin is supposed to be in office because Judah is pointing to Judah. If he's out of the tribe of Judah, he's supposed to be into nothing until Messiah returns, according to this prophecy of Jacob, his father. My brother and sister, I never seen this prophecy here. Okay, and we're talking about Judah still. Verse 10, my Lord, my God, this was planned by God. This was planned by God. Hallelujah. From eternity unto eternity. Verse 11, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine, he washes his garment in wine, and his clothes in the blood of the grape. This is Messiah. This is Messiah works. So Benjamin is supposed to be in office until the return of Messiah, according to this prophecy. I never seen this prophecy before. But this prophecy confirmed what the prophet Isaiah prophesied. And the other prophet concerning Israel and the return of Messiah. Verse 12, his eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. Now, I can look up in Isaiah, I can look up this prophecy and compare it to what Isaiah said about he and the wine press. Let me look it up. Thank you, Lord. My Lord, my God. It's all in the Word of God. I mean, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 5:2, he fenced it, he gathered out the stone, therefore planted with the choice of the winepress. Okay. Isaiah 16:10, the gladness is taken away and the joy out of the plentiful field. The vineyard, there shall be no singing during the great tribulation. There shall be no shouting there. Treaded out, no wine. In the press, I have made the vintage shouting to cease. Okay. And then Isaiah 63:3, I have thrown the wine press along, and the people, there was none with me, for I would treat them in my anger. This is the great tribulation. Okay. Again. I have thrown the winepress. This is when Messiah returned during the Great Tribulation alone. Are the people that was done with me, for I would threat them in my anger, trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. This is when Revelation 19, he comes down. Messiah comes down in Revelation 19. So the confirmation that this is for the Great Tribulation is there. It starts here in Genesis 49, 11, 10, 8, 9, 10, 11, and then here, same prophecy of Messiah return to Israel. And it points to the tribe of Judah. And so Benjamin, if Benjamin Netanyahu is from Judah, Bibi, then he's supposed to be there until Messiah return. And we know he just returned to Israel. And he returning to Israel for the Psalm 83 word that he's going to lead himself. He's leading the army of Israel right now. They're getting ready, they're loading the guns. The IDF is loading the guns to fight against Iran, Psalm 83. Okay, the Talmud has been made and signed amongst Iran and all these other nations, including Egypt, where David said they have made a Talmud unto themselves. The Talmud has been made already, their agreement, they are a Talmud, and they're ready to attack Israel. But Israel is also ready. Messiah will fight with Israel. My brother and sister, it's not going to be easy. Much blood will be shed there. But Messiah's blood and upon his garment is not for praising the grapes. Is by destroying his enemy. Their blood comes on his garment, my brother and sister. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Wow, how the Lord. Verse 13, Zebulun, I might have to go back to this prophecy and study even more. Okay, you might have to look it up in the dictionary, sister. Amen. So, okay, 49, 12, his eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth wine with milk. Excuse me. Zebulun shall well of the heavens of the sea, haven of the sea, I'm sorry. He shall be for a haven of ships. His border shall be unto Sidon, which is in Psalm 83. Sidon is in Psalm 83 also. Notice how it's all combined, had a part of the tribe, like this on us, It's in charge of the ships. That means the carrier, the submarines. Even that God indicated in his Bible. What part of the tribe of Israel? I'm going to have to go back to this Bible study. Next week as we're around, I don't know how much we can do or say next week. I don't know how many of you heard about the power outages. Terrorists attacking North Carolina, the power outages. We've been having here power outages. There's been some city here with no power for days now. Okay? A lot of people can see that as an excuse because of the shortage of diesel, where these power outages are going to be happening state by state, okay? And they're making up excuse of terrorist attack. Okay, so we'll see in the days to come. I already heard a line. I don't know if it was Glenn Beck that was saying, they had a guest on Glenn Beck. Someone was saying a line that they're trying to make an excuse for the shortage of diesel. They're running out of diesel to the last drop. They don't have much diesel for the country. And instead of stopping everything since last month, back on the 22nd, 23rd, they should have stopped the country completely, the nation, and say, look, we don't have enough diesel. Let's preserve this diesel for the worst part of the winter so we can make it, we can do better during the winter, in the colder winter that is coming. We're still not in winter. Winter begins on December 21st. Okay, we're still not there yet. And so what they should have done of being wise and using the diesel wise was stop the whole country, even have power outages. Okay, people would adjust and will say, okay, you know, let's adjust to it and let the colder months begin and use the diesel they have wisely until then in April, May, June, they can go ahead and try to create more diesel and you know, have more backup diesel. But the way this expert was saying is what they're doing now is wrong. It's not the way, okay, that they should be doing it. Because it's, you have, let's say an example, you have a tank of diesel for the year. And instead of preserving some of the diesel for the worst part of the month, they've been running the diesel like crazy. They're doing delivery. They're doing everything. They're running it down to zero. That's what he's saying. And what do you think is going to happen? Okay, what do you think is going to happen, my brother and sister, when they run it down to zero, to nothing, and they only have a 25 million barrel for the army, for the government, that's it. And even their diesel is being put in danger also, because some of the diesels are being borrowed. You're borrowing emergency diesel. But if you need to go to war with another country, you need that diesel. No. They're saying to the army, no, we need some of that diesel, pass it this way. So you're even leaving the country defenseless by doing that. Defenseless. The army defenseless. The army's vehicle runs on diesels by like, I don't know, 90%, 99%. If you borrow the diesel, if you need to go to war, what are you gonna use? This is all being done purposely. And this is the part that is scary for the people that have no idea, that think everything is still great. That one day they're going to wake up, they will have no power, they will have no food delivery, and then they wonder, so what are we going to do now? How are we going to, where are we going to get our food? And the government is going to say, well, the states are going to say, well, I'm sorry, but we ran out of diesel. We're so sorry. We are so sorry. And that's what they're doing now. That's what they're doing now. And everybody thinks it's okay. We don't have a problem. Everything, the country's still running. We still got power. Food's still being delivered. And they don't even know. That's why the Bible says sudden destruction. Sudden is unaware. It's when you don't expect it. It happens. And then when it happens, you're like, oh, I didn't expect it, huh? Well, I didn't know that was coming. So we're heading right there right now, like in a million mile a second, a million barrel a day, a million mile a second, we're heading there. Okay? So God help us. God help us. God help the decision that they're making. It will highly affect people. My brother and sister, I can imagine people when it began to happen emailing me, trying to email me, Brother Elby, Brother Elby. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to concern myself with it anymore. You know, I think I talked about it too much on the Lord's Hour last month. And maybe I overwhelmed myself a little and then I had to repent. And I worry about it. This is not at home anymore. This is not at home anymore. Our home is in heaven waiting for us. We're going into a new life. The former things pass away. We're not going to remember much down here anymore. We just got to move on to our life and do what the Lord wants us to do. Prepare to be going home, being repenting. Let what's going to happen here happen. You know, I believe by happening, it will give us a greater chance to witness to people and say, hey, you know, if I tell my neighbors right now what's happened, they're not going to believe. But the Lord gave, I think it was my wife, a vision of them coming over for help. And that's the way it's going to be soon. The dreams that people are having are so real. The revelation from the Lord is so real that we're coming to the time where preachers are not needed anymore. I believe that with what's happening and what's going to happen in a few days from now, that's why the Lord said your ministry is over, because all prophecy, everything we've been saying here, are going to be start happening within days. Tomorrow we may be in a different time. China may be attacking Taiwan tomorrow. We all may be already in a different time. Next week we can be hearing that there's no more diesel. Things are really happening. And everybody's going to see it on the news. They're going to see it on television. They're going to be in the middle of all this mess, wondering. My brother, I thought that the Canada was in a better position than the U.S. in regard to diesel. I heard that the Canadian government now is worried about the diesel supply they have. They're also running out. When I heard that on the news online, I'm like, what? I thought Canada was in a better position than us. No, Canada, the government is also worried that they're running out of diesel. Europeans are already running out of diesel. The world is already experiencing a diesel shortage like never before. Okay? It's here. It is here. There's nothing else to look for. We just need to look to the Lord, trust the Lord, and know that whatever's going to happen in the days to come, we need to be close with Jesus under the shadow of the Almighty. My brother and sister, okay? Under the shadow of the Almighty, where we need to be. And if the war begins tomorrow with China and Taiwan, pray. We have a sister in Taiwan that listens to us live from Taiwan. May the Lord keep her. May the Lord protect her. May the Lord make his faith shine upon her. May the Lord be with her in Taiwan. My brother and sister, and all brothers and sisters in Taiwan, may the Lord protect them. My brother and sister, because I'm telling you, what is coming is so soon to come. What they're going to approve on Thursday in Congress against China and Taiwan, 100 ballistic system missile they'll be shipping out this Thursday. That is a big sign that China's not going to allow that to be delivered. So it's all here. It is just all here. And it's all the information online. You can look it up. You can read it for yourself. Everything is so close. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for the links that each and one of you has been sending to me. Thank you for all the information. Oh, man, I've been receiving so many links from my brothers and sisters. Thank you for all that information. When I see the link, I click on them. I watch the videos. The information is shocking. I just don't want to have people here biting their nails if I play those audio videos that people are sending me. Thank you for them. But we want to focus on the Lord, because if we play some of those videos, people will focus on fear of what is unfolding. There's so much unfolding everywhere in every country right now. My brother and sister, let's focus on Jesus. Okay? Let's focus on the Lord. Because everything is on the move right now. Just as God said they will come, they are happening already. Let's continue to focus on the Lord. My brother and sister, go in prayer with him. Call upon his name. As the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God willing, Sister Carla will be here tomorrow. And now, Brother Body and Sister Brenda will be on Friday. My brother and sister, I will be back. God willing, hope in the Lord. If I'm not able to come on Sunday, it's because there's no power here. The whole country is in a mess. And you already know, if I'm able to come here by God's plan, I will. The Lord already has said that day's coming where I will not be able to come on the air. Shalom, shalom.
A great change of scenery in your life, and now the mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed, and things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increased measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine, for the glory of God shall be revealed.
To a new way, you'll leave this place in a new way, a
a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall.